the next up we have Amy Berry reading to you.
Hello everyone. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Paul. And thank you everyone for being here. My first poem is inspired by Leonard Cohen, and it's my very first, one of my new poems, my first, very first poem that that I wrote about love poem, and it's published in the Southwood Journal, and it's called The Scent of Her. The scent of her, the smell of apple blossoms, wrap my senses, collected around my heart like cobweb designs in the rain, defying heated stares, shock whispers. I would have cradled her tight in my arms, in the streets or in a crowded restaurant, the way I would have as a young man. I would not have minded that she was married. I would have kissed hard her brown redden lips. I would have made love to her had she said she loved me. Classics translated, make music like an angel, turn eyes to flame, made her wonder. Had I been that man as a young man, but I am no longer he. I may say that this is about a man who is in his late 70s or early 80s. In my younger days, I liked to travel in backpacks, so I backpacked everywhere, and I went to India, and I went to Nepal, so I was in this hostel room. When I opened the window, this is what I see. She's called a majestic beauty, a tribute to the true wonder of the world, Mount Everest. She lives and breathes in the mountain. She touches the sky, holds her crown above her head, clouds swirl and dance around her, a prodigious sight. Sleep beats again the hostel window. At last, alone, I plunge into this backpacking experience. A glimpse of her curls of magical joy in my soul. Sagamarta. She hears me say her name and smiles, a beauty of elegance, supremacy, triumph in her eyes, rejoicing in my spirit. I stand on the hills of Nepal, silent, still. Absorbed, unraveled ambience, I saw Janai sinks into my soul and cries euphoria in my blood. I hail those who has hailed her and reached the peak. And this poem, is the setting is in Moineo, in Athlone, where I live. It's a lovely countryside. I love jumping on the trampoline. So while jumping on the trampoline, the birth of this poem. The trampoline. I jump, my head held high, eyeing horizon, my knees wrapped tightly against my chest, smelling the sweetness of Moineo fresh air. There, in the distance, past the stone walls, stood my neighbor's white gable rising to the blue skyline, and balconies covered with pores of bright flowers. Across the road, Marie, staring at the people passing by, nodding every now and then, her long skirt fluttering in the breeze, and for just this moment, Paul's horse galloping in a cleared field in slow motion. Where the tall branches lean, frowning at a familiar presence, the bright green algae that gripped my robe that needed cleaning. And I landed one last time, gently surrendering into calm. Gazing at the sky under the layers of blue turned pink, reminding myself I had an entire summer to get to know him. poem is a tribute to Jill Ma, if you remember, if you recall, the Irish journalist that was brutally killed in Melbourne. A tribute to Jill Ma. Pain gathered in his chest, a sense of being marooned so thick it clotted, choked his breathing. His wife, lying in some unmarked grave he wished he was invisible, had evaporated into green silk and misty air. Sunset in sharp autumn chill, black shadow quartered, her image on a rippling sea. Is at 43rd in Dublin. On the high wall that looks to the sea, there is traditional bathing, Irish at 40 feet, gents only, often nude. I spy two men, beach clad. I am careful to listen as you explain. I try not to miss a thing. My beloved and I hear steep in history. I gaze at my tell towel with Ulysses on Bloom's day. Your arms around my shoulders, my face, happiness colored. While sea voices mimic you to breathe in my ears. Dublin, and it was a cold December evening before Christmas, around Christmas, well, a few days before Christmas, and I was journeying around Dublin on a crossbar of a bicycle. So this is called Fairy Tale Dublin. Fairy Tale Dublin. He held out his hand on the crossbar of the bicycle. I transformed to a child, a moment of ecstasy. Dublin's nightlife explored one winter evening. Blood in my veins, eyes shine, thriller journey's vision, the wind intense ripples on cold skin. Yet my heart and my soul are impervious. Pinell Street, Pembroke Road, Christmas light dazzle the city. The spire rises above O'Connell Street, Jim Luck and Daniel O'Connell, Molly Malone statues. I gaze through the street of St. Stephen Green. Take in every detail, every sound and smell. Remember this all, for this is real. Delight fills my spirit, adrenaline surges. As my heart vibrates, my mind at peace. A journey that tender night brings me closer to him. In my early 20s, I fell in love with Paris, so I used to walk around all the roads, and one of the streets that I was very overwhelmed and surprised with is the red light district. So it's called the Angels of Pigalle. Men exhale their names, untamed urges fled, uninhibited spirits, fervent mass melted into heady excitement. Promises made in sweat of the roaring night. decayed dreams, a sniff of music and flashed, fingers traced inch by inch, hips, hand, tours, cold images that ran unsaid, the same bodies ended in another. I stood still and listened to their voices, gentle, coaxing. Sometimes I heard them like a child's laugh, teasing and triumphant, crowning some moment of glory. I was in Penang with my family around, I think the year was on Boxing Day 2004, when tsunami hit Penang Island, and we were lucky because we were on the 19th floor. Because every morning at 9 o'clock, I used to take the children to the swimming pool after breakfast. But that particular morning, I was very tired because the night before we were in the open market, so we slept in. So 9 o'clock in the morning, just for a few minutes, the tsunami just come and then went away. So this is called tsunami. The hungry eyes of the kingfisher watched for prey, shadowing the bleak December night. A man crouches on the grey damp soil, praying and weeping quietly, clutching the lifeless body of his wife, her skin bleached by water. Further along the sand laden with bodies, the night carries echoes of wailing, a dull hell pierced with confusion and sorrow. A bonfire flickers, feeble flame, and all around thick mist stoops to troll the dead and taunt the living. My next poem is a tribute to Savita. I think everyone remembers Savita. Laid out in a red wedding sari, her life frittered away as easily as scattered dust, weeping like a child, he whispers her name over and over again. How do we justify this? Okay, the next poem, I love table tennis so much. I'm a level one table tennis coach, so I coach in schools as well. And this is called When Gold Glitters, when my daughter won the national champion under 13 girls in Ireland. It's called When Gold Glitters. In fuchsia outfit, she prances like a feisty dancing kitten, perceiving tactics to focus mind. Her brown eyes dart about, a desire burning high and wide. Energies combined, a passion of table tennis, the inexhaustible joy. She spins the ball strong, screams over the net. The ball's on fire, spinning fast, match point. Time sweats. She closes in with a rush of gold, her moment's here, the weight of a dream. She stands stunned for a moment, walking slowly to the slanting spring sun. Happy tears escape freely as she hums a little tune. Again, I arrive at the airport instead of taking the nice, comfortable bus going up to the mountains, I wanted to try like the public bus and see how the locals do it. And then the public bus are all very, they have people on top of the bus as well, you know, it's very crowded. Anyway, this is my experience there. It's got a bus ride up the Himalayan peaks. I stand, jutting upward. The bus pulls, more people, some sit on top, like how mom used to stuff clothes into a suitcase. I sat on it, squeezed the ledges closed, bodies thrust from oversight. Someone's bumps against mine, queasy from brazen contact, mingled limbs, merging closed, breath and body odor. The bus restarts, jerks, struggles with the load. My face lodges under an armpit of a tall, bearded man. Eyes roll. I pull in my stomach and hold my breath. Back of my neck breaks sweat. I bend to squint out. Terrace form slopes the hills. Adrenaline pumps. My eyes lift to embrace the snow rope Himalayan peaks. We reach peace in the world, and it's about a boy's life in Gaza. The voice coming from a little boy who is 10 years old. My life is not supposed to be like this. The airstrike lights up the night sky as bright as day. Mother puts my head in her lap. I feel her stroking my hair. Pain rises in waves, crashing into me. My eyes, unable to focus. My hearing, capable only of taking rhythm and cadence. Slowly, words begin to take on discrete sounds. Then comes meaning and comprehension. Mother tells me I will be safe. When a person dies, the people cry. I can see mother crying. Dream fragments float past my eyes. Life isn't fair. Okay, this is my last poem. This is my winning poem, actually, in one of the festival called Redolence of the Orator. A friend of mine was called to give a presentation to the school principals and teachers. 80% of the audience, of the attendees, were women. When he was giving the presentation, I noticed that all the women were all looking at him in a trance. So, the poem is called Redolence of the Orator, or the Scent of the Orator. He inhabits the air with energy and sensuality. Words vibrate. A great storyteller. His voice ignites like the scent of a storm. Some listen. Their mouth gape wide, indelicately open. I wonder what it is like to sleep in the same bed, to hear each other's breathing, to inhale the scents of each other, to press my face beside his and keep it there forever, to ravish his intelligence, to violate his vulnerability, to tremble with unrestrained love, the fullness of a woman's pleasure as I've never had before. Watching him, no idea if this is madness. Fate can be magical, abstract, mysterious, left to chance. His presence a recorded impression of words pounding on my poetic memory. I don't know if he has a sweetheart. To ask would be pointless. Thank you.